I have been a resident of Germantown for 35 years. I was involved with the 1989 Master Plan as president of the Germantown Citizens Association. I was also on the board of the Germantown Alliance. And I am here tonight representing the Germantown Historical Society, which has been in existence since 1990. And we're very familiar with all of the master plans and the general plans, and I see some major flaws in this plan. In the interest of time, I'm going to just point out a couple of these. First of all, the implementation is in direct conflict with the many of the goals of the plan. For instance, strengthening Germantown as a county employment center. How does building dwelling units next to mass transit accomplish this? This would seem to actually be encouraging commuting. We want the transit to come to us, not to take us people away to other jobs in other places. Where is all the employment that is supposed to be serving all of the upcounty, not just Germantown? Using history to give a sense of place was one of the goals, and how can you do this if you destroy the historicity of the historic sites in Germantown, as this plan seems to want to do? The major flaw, however, is the plan itself. John F. Kennedy set out a good plan in the mid-1950s with great goals for the, quote, year 2000. And the Wedges and Cordes plan of Montgomery County made great strides in meeting those goals, but the plan failed. It did not stop sprawl, and it did not save our farms, and Germantown turned out not to be the new town of the future, but just another bedroom community. After all, it was a plan for the era of the automobile, not the 21st century. And I see this master plan as continuing the plan for the 20th century, not the 21st century. It's based on the continued use of automobiles for transportation and is modeled on an out-of-date concept of tearing down and building new, not on building what you have. It is not sustainable. It is not green. It is not creating a livable communities for the future. We need a whole new concept, not the same old Wedges and Cordes plan. We need to re-examine the original plan. Now that we don't have the same means of transportation, economy, or culture that we had in the 1960s, we need to look to the 21st century, to the real future. And we need to go back and look at the concept of satellite cities rather than corridor cities. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this panel? If not, thank you all very much. Let me call the next panel. Norman Dreyfus, Mike Rubin, Sharon Dooley, Kathy Hulley, Brenda Fogel, Pamela Lindstrom, and Mary Siegford. Mr. Dreyfus here?
I'm taking his place today.
All right.
My name is Ines Vega, and I'm with the IDI Group Companies. We are the developers of Leisure World of Maryland and Leisure World of Virginia, the largest active adult communities in the region. And my time started. I'm here today with a very simple request that the Planning Board recommend senior housing throughout the area of the Germantown covered by this amendment, and to allow it in its first stage of the master plan. This will give an active adult project the opportunity to be considered if and when it comes, because it will be consistent with the master plan. To support this request, I will be building on one of the technical appendices that was presented by staff, and I will refer to other information. The active adult buyer will like to stay in the area they have lived in. and close to their children and grandchildren that have moved up county. They want to live independently, and while wanting to stay in their homes, it is not always possible and practical, and often chooses a community that offers many conveniences, walking paths, common area maintenance, one-floor living, health facilities, community activities and involvement, volunteering in schools, libraries, college. Leisure World has, I think, more volunteers for election polls than other area in the county. They will sell their homes of many years, creating a stock of existing homes, which are typically more affordable than new homes, allowing for incoming families to the area to find a product that is compatible in size and price with raising a family that the active adult will no longer need. They do not want to retire. This is in your appendix. And therefore, they might seek employment in the existing and proposed development in the area, or may open consulting offices in the area and create employment opportunities for their staff, or again, will volunteer in institutions. Also, the active adult product and the senior product generates approximately one-third of the traffic, and the peak hours of the traffic, or their traffic patterns are different than those of surrounding communities. Therefore, they would not be contributing to road congestion. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Mike Rubin.
Chairman Hansen, commissioners, my name is Michael Rubin. I'm a resident of Boyd's. I was also a member of the advisory ad hoc committee. I'm here to speak on behalf of the Ag Reserve. I personally have put approximately 4,200 acres of land into preservation in the Ag Reserve. I have several thousand acres in cultivation. It is clear to me, and I hope it is clear to you and many here, that a key to the future survival, no matter what kind of development happens, will be the Ag Reserve. It is 93,000 acres, 31,000 are parks, 2,000 acres are actual agricultural land and forest. It is my view that the ability to produce food locally will be a crucial element, and no matter what else happens, and therefore I support wholeheartedly the use of the BLT and support the TMX zone. Without it, additional rooftops will go into the reserve, and it will be further fragmented. This is particularly germane today, since the community has just been notified that the last large piece of agricultural land in Montgomery County is about to be submitted, 840 acres, for its full development potential. The BLT may very well be the answer to this. So I implore you to consider how important the Ag Reserve is and to include the BLT in your calculations. As far as the development community is concerned, I have been a developer for many years. I'm a veteran of many, many battles and have been represented by a number of the law firms that will be speaking probably tonight and tomorrow. I can tell you that many fight constantly, many of us developers fight constantly against any of the imposition of any more costs. But I can tell you over the years, the whining and the crying, look around you, there are tens of thousands of units and millions of square feet of development that have occurred in spite of that, and it will continue to do so. As speaking for myself, as a developer, I can save a lot more money and my profitability will be assured more likely by a more streamlined process of park and planning, where I no longer have to spend a fortune on consultants and 2 years or more in the planning process without any certainty of what's going to happen, and have to hire my consultants to basically interpret what should be clear and concise rules and the rules of the game. That alone will far offset any costs or impositions that I can envision coming from the planning board or from the county council with respect to development. And lastly, with respect to that, I think it is very important to have a means by which disputes within the planning process can be resolved, either an ombudsman or someone who has the ability to, for better or for worse, simply give me as a developer yes or no if I have a conflict with the staff, especially when I'm dealing in these optional methods where there's a rather incoherent or very loose way of having to deal and asking for proffers. I would like, if I can simply state my case in front of someone and they say, you're right or you're wrong, this is how it's going to be, that would eliminate a great deal of guesswork for me and cost. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Sharon Dooley.
Good evening. I'm Sharon Dooley. I live in Olney. I've been very involved with issues in the Ag Reserve and the green movements. I urge you to reconsider some aspects of the draft plan that you have presented, as I am concerned with keeping a balance between urban and rural areas in the county. Germantown is a designated urban center, yet I do wonder about the grandiose plans that ask for 15-story tall mixed-use buildings in the town core. This is the final major plan for this area, and this is the last chance you have to get this right. The first point in the draft deals with Germantown's value as a commercial center, but we all know as to create a cohesive community, one must also address the needs of the people who are the basis for this town. That is a vital missing element here. There are still unbuilt units from the last master plan, and the Washington Post just recently reported that many residents in multiple Germantown neighborhoods are facing foreclosures, which will devalue many nearby properties. The phrase, if you build it, they will come, does not seem operant here. There is much underdeveloped office space in the nearby commercial office center. This was planned in the last master plan, but in more than 10 years has not been able to attract the expected tenants. Do we need to replicate the concrete canyons from the down county here? We do not have in place the metro stations and apartment towers to support this development. We have a suburban area that wants to see a sense of community. I applaud the streetscapes that are mentioned where lower-rise buildings are planned. Should we try to bring in 62,000 more jobs into this area when we have inadequate local roads, schools, and affordable housing in place to welcome the employers and the workers they can attract? Once again, it appears we are getting the cart before the horse. I suggest that centers of commerce and neighborhoods of people are all better served when we have green spaces to nurture their souls and fresh air to breathe. In Olney, we are seeing large tracts deforested for the onslaught of the ICC. So I request that we as a county do not again set out to destroy natural beauty and habitat by yet another highway. Reconsider plans to build M83 through previously untouched forests, parks, streams, and meadows. In this era of global warming, we must move away from 50-year-old models and look to decisively conserve our green spaces, doing more than just reserve our ring of green here and there. As for neighborhoods described as transit-dependent, the transit center cannot currently meet the needs of the people who are here. Why should we look for more ridership until that capacity is increased? Use the power of your department to advocate with the state and the federal governments to push the Corridor City's transit way forward. We need transit infrastructure in place prior to additional building. Let's get this right. Let's not put the cart before the horse. We also need adequate pedestrian access. My written testimony also mentions safeguarding the historic district and preserving the stream valleys and watershed. This has not been well addressed, and we have a great example up in Clarksburg of what is being done improperly in the historic district. Continued developments with the impervious surfaces near stream valleys will degrade the existing streams. In conclusion, instead of embracing past ideas, look to the future to build with new eyes rather than sticking with outmoded models. Germantown abuts the fragile agricultural reserve. Look to protect the areas sitting timidly at the periphery of the town. You have just one chance to get this right.
Thank you. Kathy Hulley.
My name is Kathy Hulley. I live in Boyds, and I'm a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee. There are several things I find troubling about this update. When Clarksburg was being planned, it was planned as a transit-oriented development. Transit for Clarksburg is still upwards of 20 years away, not as the red line which proposed as far back as the 1970s, but maybe a rapid bus line, which will be slower and slower as more development is allowed to the south towards Shady Grove. Now, transit-dependent is the new buzzword for Germantown. We need to know the difference. Is there to be no building allowed until transit is in place? That's maybe what it should be, but when I asked the question in one of the meetings, the response was, don't count on that. So who's pulling the wool over our eyes? How much discussion has there been with Metro to accommodate all these potential extra riders who will arrive at Shady Grove expecting to be able to get on a train in reasonable comfort and with fair expediency? I'm going to disagree with you. Okay. M83 is an essential corridor from Clarksburg, Damascus, and beyond, and should be built using the alignment in the master plan. The building of Clarksburg was predicated on this road, and any variation, especially one which would use already overburdened 355, is not worthy of consideration. There are to be perhaps over 7,500 new dwelling units over and above the present plan, and yet not one single new school is deemed necessary. That's incredible. There are currently over 40 portables in Germantown elementary schools as we speak. We have been fighting overcrowding in all our local schools for the last 25 years, to my knowledge, and yet it seems that this is a case of, here we go again. There has to be a much better in-depth study of all the surrounding clusters, taking into account all the already master plan maximums for those areas. It is unacceptable that there is even discussion of the idea without a much closer look at the reality of our schools at this time. There is a proposal to raise to the ground a moderately priced apartment complex under 30 years old and not in disrepair in order to increase the number of units from 400 plus to over 1,700. One of the reasons for proposing this is that it's close to the Mark station. This may be true, but has anybody taken the trouble to contact Mark or CSX to find out if these extra riders plus some can be transported along a line which is a main freight line? Has anyone considered what logic and reason tell me that these riders will still use their cars daily to get to and from the station, to get to their children's schools and to shop and recreate, and thus adding potentially over 1,000 new cars to our roads in Germantown? Few families or couples choose to maintain only one car in the far suburbs. In all likelihood, couples will have at least two cars per apartment and use at least one of them daily to commute. A few feds of household commute to exactly the same place daily for their employment. And also with the Fox Chapel, the Middlebrook mobile home park, if that is raised to the ground, we are going to lose a lot of affordable housing because what will be proposed in its place will take the new 12.5% or 15%. It won't have the 182 units that are there now. And senior housing, I suggest we need a senior housing master plan like they do in Howard County. We need to look at this county-wide. Thank you.
Thank you. Brenda Fogel.
Is it my turn?
Brenda Fogel.
Oh, nope, sorry.
Is not here. Pamela Lindstrom.
I'm a long-time civic activist. I live in Gaithersburg, and I looked at this plan fairly critically, as you will see, as to whether it meets standards, current standards of smart growth and transit-oriented development. And you will hear what I think. The draft plan covers a very large but unnamed central corridor. It's over 2 miles long, longer than the Roslyn-Ballston corridor in Arlington, almost as long as Wisconsin Avenue corridor from the district line through the medical centers. The central area of this master plan covers some 1,400 acres, whereas downtown Bethesda is a little over 300. Even though that corridor, the Bethesda corridor, contains about 100,000 jobs and 20,000 housing units, much of its length is single-family residential area that shows just how concentrated it is. Yet this Germantown plan seeks to treat the whole area as one transit-oriented center. And it asks us to believe that it's premised on a very unlikely transitway that wouldn't serve Germantown well anyway. You mustn't do this. The plan has a good vision, but it's got to be refined, and you must figure out a plan that actually achieves the vision. First, I'm going to tell you a few problems, and then what to do about it. The land use recommendations are too uniform over too big an area. High-rise office buildings everywhere for over a mile along I-270 will dilute and probably negate Germantown having a real center. Furthermore, the development levels recommended in the plan clearly dependent on the non-existent transit. Unfortunately for the BLT concerns, the TMX zone is not justified. Two, the Corridor City's transitway is prey to all the landowners in West Gaithersburg who every time they want to develop their properties, they ask for the CCT right-of-way to be extended. It's always reminded me of Pinocchio's nose that gets longer and longer depending on who asks. I'm afraid that the Johns Hopkins requests now to make that transitway even longer are going to make it so slow and impractical that it will never get to Germantown. Phase one of the transitway, remember, only goes to Metropolitan Grove, and I'm afraid that phase one is all that will be built.
Thank you. Mary Siegfried.
It's Siegfried, and
sorry.
That's all right. I'm no one. I'm just a regular person. So I just
we'll accept your testimony anyway.
Thank you. I got news that Germantown was planning a town center, and I was excited about it. I envisioned something like, you know, Reston Town Center or even Rockville Town Center, and something that's going to be big and pedestrian friendly, especially with the cost of gas the way it is. But then I kind of saw what the plan is, and instead of it being one big town center that everyone can walk to that uses existing transportation like the Mark Rail, which is great for the environment, and I'm all for that, it's like four little cities, and the four little cities aren't even within walking distance. So you have these four clusters that are separated from each other, and instead of making it like, you know, Rockville Town Center or Reston, it's making it more 118 like Rockville Pike. And the traffic that's going to be going back and forth to 118 to try and get to these little centers, it's going to be chaos. And then I hear that, okay, well, we have this great CCT that's going to connect all of these little centers, and that's a great idea, the CCT. Again, great for the environment, mass transportation, but it's really supposed to be to connect things that already exist instead of saying we need now taxpayers' money to create a transit to connect and clear up the chaos that we created. And we have the chance right now not to create the chaos. So we can make one big town center using transportation that already exists and make it pedestrian friendly and save our tax dollars for the schools and the environment and other things that matter.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. My name is Jackie Nelligan. I live near Laytonville, but I spend a lot of time in Germantown. For the past 3 years, I went to Roberto Clemente Middle School here in Germantown as part of the Magnet Humanities program. I'll be starting at Richard Montgomery High School next month. I also attend church here in Germantown and take part in many programs at the Black Rock Center. Tonight I want to talk about the plans to build the road called M83. Please consider your best choice to be not to build a new road, but to focus on mass transit and other solutions. As a second option, you could expand existing roads in areas that have already been developed. In seventh grade, I was assigned a year-long research project. For my topic, I chose the effect of development on Montgomery County. I have given you a few of the slides from the PowerPoint presentation I put together for this project. Dr. Hansen, you may remember that you were kind enough to let me interview you on camera as part of my project. Many of the proposed routes for M83 are along a creek bed, which is in the North Germantown Greenway Park. This creek feeds into Great Seneca Creek. This past year, for an assignment science class, I monitored the health of this creek and compared it with monitoring that was done before the surrounding area was developed. A recognized criterion for measuring the health of a stream is the number of organisms living in it. It was upsetting to see how much the health of the creek was affected by the development. In 1992, before a housing development was built, the organism counts were 100 or more. By 2008, this number had been reduced to only 9. Building a road along the stream bed will only make this worse. I'm very lucky to live in a rural area. Thank you, Dr. Hansen, for your work to set up the agricultural reserve and to introduce ideas like TDRs and regs and corridors. These innovative ideas help to establish areas of farmland and woods in the county that remain undeveloped, but close to and accessible for residents of the county to enjoy. As you might guess, preserving the environment in Montgomery County is important to me, but I'm not alone in this. Our awareness of the environment has changed the way people feel about more roads, more cars, and more development. For many years, Montgomery County has set an example for other communities in the way it has managed growth. I want the county to continue to lead by example. It is important that we keep as many of the existing undeveloped spaces as possible and not build M83. Communities of the future need to rely on mass transit and smart growth. We can and must do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions for this panel?
So Mr. Rubin, would you support a service district if included in that, if one were set up for an urban district, if there was an ombudsman in that to
can you hear me?
To do this facilitation?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I just want to ask one question if I could. Mary, I'm sorry, I don't know your last name. I beg your pardon. Where would you want that one town center to be? Did you have any more specific?
Well, I know that there's a sign right now that says Germantown Center. I mean, I think that would be the great place for it.
You'd save money on signs. Yeah, right.
Exactly. And it's right there by the Park Rail.
Very good. Thank you all very much. Let me ask the following people to come up for the college. Steve Poteet, Doug Furstenberg, Brian Folger, Rocky Sorrell, and Hercules Pinckney.
First of all, Dr. Pinckney, it's good to see you.
We'll start with Mr. Poteet.
Mr. Hansen, since the names were submitted and in the preparation of our testimony for this evening, we've reorganized it. Mr. Poteet would not be speaking.
Okay.
Three of us will be speaking kind of interactively. Doug Furstenberg, who's the chairman of our foundation board, and Mr. Rocky Sorrell, the college general counsel, and I will speak. Since it will be interactive, I want to ask the timekeeper not to time us individually, but the three of us as a whole time slot. We'll begin now. So I understand that...
And Mr. Folger will be speaking separately?
That's
okay.
Correct.
So the three of you, 9 minutes, and then three for Mr. Folger.
Thank you, sir.
Very good. We'll go right ahead then.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. and Pinckney. Members of the planning board, welcome to Montgomery College. We appreciate this opportunity to have the college comment on your draft Germantown Community Master Plan Amendment. We will be testifying in an interactive fashion accompanied with maps and illustrations, and we'll be happy to respond to questions at the conclusion of our testimony. When I accepted the position as Vice President and Provost of the Germantown campus 8 years ago, there were 3,900 students here. Today, we are approaching 6,000. Our long-term projection is this campus will grow to about 20,000 students. That means that the 250,000 gross square feet that we have today needs to expand to 1 million or more square feet to accommodate this projected growth. Additionally, efforts to construct a business park on the Germantown campus was initiated by the county with the college 7 years ago. Since then, support has developed and grown from the county, the state, the federal government, and the private sector to the tune of $17 million to develop a business park envisioned as outlined in this brochure that we have shared with you along with our written testimony. We will only be hitting on the highlights tonight. We encourage you to read our full testimony and the materials that we prepared for you. I will make comments later regarding the impact of the proposed amendment on our mission here at the college. But first, I'd like to ask Mr. Rocky Sorrell to share some slides with you and to make comments about the master plan as well as the ULI study that was conducted in 2006. Mr. Sorrell.
Yeah, I'll try to be very brief. Mr. Petit here is going to try to help me with not giving you a crick in your neck by having to look up. So he will have the same ones out as I show on the screen. Number one is our 256 and beyond concept study, which shows that we do plan and do believe we need the entire campus as it now stands for academic programs and our biotechnology park. We do see in 256 things that we cannot foresee today, but obviously room for signature programs, possible workforce housing, possible adult education expansion, particularly as our population ages and wants to continue to learn. We know those opportunities and requirements are there in the community. In slide number two, we show the what we identify as existing environmental buffers that we plan to honor. Those are not unlike the 1989 plan, particularly along Gunners Branch, along the top of this particular plan, but it's actually on the east side. Number three is the more mature forest areas, and you'll see in the bottom part of this particular slide, it's actually along 270 there is a portion of about 50 acres that the plan calls for to become a forest park. The K tract is, of course, and number four, it's got less mature forest. Number five is the alignment, proposed so-called eastern alignment of the Observation Road extension. It violates several buildings on our campus that we have planned for the near future. It also cuts our campus apart. And finally, number six is another alignment, the western alignment, as an alternative that we'll discuss in the near future here. But with that, I want to just remind all of us that this particular master plan is not a general master plan, it's a master plan amendment. This amendment was pushed forward by many different forces, but I think most of all from the ULI study that indicated that we had only achieved since 1974 10% of the population, the working population, having jobs in Germantown. From 1974 on, the goal was at least 25%. And that's what this particular plan is supposed to do, is to create jobs at least 25% of the population, so we do cut down on the adverse consequences of long drives, long commutes, and those consequences are not just environmental, but they're on the family and the quality of life here in Germantown. So that is what we're trying to concentrate on, and I'm afraid that this plan, as far as Montgomery College is concerned, falls short. Montgomery College, as identified by the ULI study, is a key factor for particularly the high-quality jobs that are required to make Germantown work. These are the technology and research jobs, 3,000 to 4,000 of them from the park. However, this plan is inconsistent with a park going forward in any viable way. With that, I'm going to turn this over to Herc.
In our written testimony on pages 3 and 4, we outline about 7 different negative impacts of the eastern alignment of the public road. And I won't spend time going through them. You have them there so that I could yield some time to my colleague, Doug Furstenberg. But there are at least 7 major negative impacts on the current alignment proposed in the plan.
As chairman of the Montgomery College Foundation, our role here is to help the college educate and take on not only fundraising activities, but also we've been very active in helping with real estate needs. And one of our roles has been to advance the public-private partnership for the development of the technology park. And as we looked at the master plan, we really recognized there were a couple key things that were going to impede many, many years of work. It started in 2002 with the acquisition of land where the county and the state and the college and the planning board were involved. There's been years of study in terms of how the land would be developed, and the reality of the current master plan, kind of stepping back from the college perspective, you look at first what it does to the college, and Herc submitted our points of what the eastern alignment does, but also when you now look at the new forestation issues, and we clearly understand as the college we have a level higher responsibility in our development activities, but with the new rule suggestions with the master plan, we don't have a park to develop. We have lost our signature site. People who want to come to Germantown are coming for their exposure to 270. It's not averse to smart growth, but it is an advertisement for everyone to be identified. And the forestation proposals here essentially would eliminate our ability to develop land that could be seen from 270. The impact of that is the 3,000 or 4,000 jobs that are called for. And as I've heard many times tonight, people are talking about jobs. We are a key part of the jobs for Germantown and the better jobs for Germantown. We also have obligations that we've made to the county, to the state, and the federal government in terms of raising money for the park. And we want to meet those obligations. And lastly, we want to do it in an environmentally responsible way. We think we can do that and still keep the key components of this park in place by developing land that could be seen from 270 and create a partnership with it. With a college that is respectful of the needs to educate first.
Kind of keeping with that, I would encourage you to read your packet, and particularly the ULI study. It does bear careful reading. And the most important thing, though, is that we do want to propose a solution for the gridlock that is in this part of Germantown. We believe that solution is a four-lane road that would follow from the Observation Drive entrance at 118 along Goldenrod and along an alignment that's already been proposed for the Goldenrod pass-through through the Science Park. That would then go forward to Middlebrook and create not only the a freedom from this gridlock issue for commuters, but also then the needed infrastructure for our park. We believe that this is the appropriate way to create a win-win solution. This avoids significant short and long-term damage to Gunners Branch, which is identified in the master plan as having poor water quality. Unlike the forest park in the middle of the of our campus, which was not identified in the 1989 master plan as being significant, this particular branch that's along that top portion is significant, and that's why we've tried to protect it. This road, we believe, would impact that, and adversely so. We hope to work with you and work for solutions, but we do believe that our solutions are well presented in the materials we've sent to you.
I expect we'll have a very interesting work session.
I hope so.
Very good. Mr. Folger.
Good evening, Chairman Hansen, members of the Planning Board. My name is Brian Folger. I'm a principal of the Folger Pratt Companies. We're developers here, which I think means that we're less than nobody around here. I'm glad you're smiling at that. Folger Pratt has been selected by Montgomery College to develop the Montgomery College Science and Technology Park. As you've seen, it's roughly 40 to 50 acre site, basically on the western side of the Montgomery College campus. If you go back and look at, as I'm sure you have, if you look at the master plan for Germantown, one of the general underlying concepts is that we are here to develop a balance between housing and jobs. And it is clear that we are way ahead of the housing is way ahead of the jobs here. This project represents an opportunity to help improve that balance and bring jobs to Germantown. The economic study that the county did back in 2002 projected that this project alone, the Science and Technology Park, would create about 3,700 jobs here in Germantown. We applaud the Planning Board staff in their draft in that they have designated this site as a project as a location where 1 million square feet could be developed. 1 million square feet of space that would be consistent with the vision that the college has, which is to create a synergy between public sector and private sector and create jobs here that would highly desirable jobs focused on the business sector and especially on the biotechnology sector. The problem with the plan, as has been proposed by the staff, is that it reduces the overall footprint, the buildable footprint of the project, thus forcing us to build buildings in the 6 to 8 story range and provide structured parking. This market doesn't support structured parking, and biosciences don't support 6 to 8 story buildings. The result of that would be to further delay and significantly delay the development of the science and technology park. This is done primarily by reserving, under their proposal, really what we've determined to be the signature site. It's a site that allows us to create the critical mass and do it in such a configuration that we can attract businesses now. As an example, we are in negotiations with a tenant we cannot disclose yet, but this tenant will be disclosed in the very near future. It's a tenant that's had conversations with the college. They're looking for about 423,000 square feet in a single building, and the use of this tenant would be highly synergistic with the kinds of goals and the vision that the college has for this site. To set aside this signature site and to preserve that green area would preclude that tenant from coming here. Just in closing, again, going back to the stated balance that we are seeking in Germantown between housing and jobs, I think that this plan has to be rethought in that it takes a site that has I-270 exposure, access from the north and from the south, and sets that aside and thus loses the wonderful synergies that can and should be created between private industry and the college.
Okay. Are there questions for this panel?
I've got a question, Mr.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Let's see. One of the college representatives. Many colleges and universities around the country are developing technology parks like this, very similar, on land that they have as an endowment, which is a wonderful thing. But I see time after time that they seem to forget the students and the connection, and we've talked about synergy here, but you know, I don't know how you're going to pull the students into this. And you know, one way obviously is by having dorms or housing or, you know, a lifestyle kind of thing there, which I understand is not the case here. But it seems like you're getting ready or you're contemplating developing a separate office park from the college, and I want to know how the plan, you know, creates that synergy for the students as well.
Okay, I'll address that. In the material, the brochure that we have here, there is a vision statement that talks about a synergistic environment where education and training, research, and business development is all going on in a single environment. If you imagine what I just said as our vision statement or as a seat of a three-legged stool, the other three legs are there to help generate that synergy we are talking about. Number one, the Bioscience Education Center will not only house all of our science programs, including our signature biotechnology program. We have an agreement with the University of Maryland to physically relocate the upper 2 years of a baccalaureate degree in biotechnology to the Germantown campus in this building as a part of this project. This will provide an opportunity for students who come to Montgomery College for an associate's or two-year degree to be able to stay on this campus and get their baccalaureate degree from the University of Maryland. And while they're matriculating, either with us or with the university, they'll be able to do part-time employment as well as internships in the business park. The synergy we are hoping to create, or we will create, is that with faculty, students, and the business community in this environment, we believe is going to generate even more entrepreneurship. And by having a business incubator, we'll have a place for startup companies to nurture them. And when they grow out of the incubator, we'll have a business plan